Thank you for joining us here today at Calvary Church, where we are committed to loving God and loving people. If you have any questions or want to learn more about who we are, visit us online at calvary.ca. Now let's check out this week's message from our lead pastor, Steve McDonald.
Hey, Calvary Church, it's so great to be with you today. Welcome to episode 4 of this very timely series called Still the Church. Listen, the way we meet, the way church looks has radically changed over the last couple of months, which sometimes requires getting our head around a little bit and adjusting to, but we are still the church. You know, if you haven't connected to an online small group yet, I would encourage you to jump in and to be a part of it. There's never been a better opportunity to connect with people that are heading in the same direction as you are. We're so much stronger when we walk this call upon our lives, when we walk it out together. Anytime, any place, any day, we are still in unity, still in God's presence, still in God's word, as we talked about last week. And all of us are mutually dependent upon one another, especially during times of crisis. And no matter what we face, we're still in relationship. We're still being held together by that bond of love, growing stronger, I believe, than we ever have been before. And sometimes that comes with pressure. When we experience these times, it brings out the best, I believe, in all of us. And so physical distance does not equal relational distance. We need to keep that in mind. We can still come together, even though many times we feel like we're being pulled apart. Now, I think you'd all agree that it's very encouraging to see some of the things that are happening in our city right now as they try to reopen the economy and roll out the phased plan that they have for kind of re-entry into life as we once know it, or what it looked like at one point. And so I want you to know that as a church, we're watching all of this very carefully, and that we're working on our own mirrored plan that will look at a phased reopening of our own facility. And hopefully as we head into the summer, we've got some creative things that we're working on right now that I think you're going to be very excited about. So we're looking forward to that, and I pray that you would keep praying for us as we make some of those decisions. You know, last week I needed a couple of things around the house, and so I went to the store and couldn't find really what I was looking for, so I saw the dollar store in our neighborhood, and so I parked the car and I went up to the door, and I didn't realize that there was a long line to get in. So I jumped in line, I socially distanced myself on the correct marker on the sidewalk, and I waited. And I think that's the first time I ever waited in line for the dollar store, and probably the first time in probably, I don't know how many years that I've even been to that particular store. But the guy that was in front of me, exactly 2 meters in front of me, he just started to make conversation, complaining about the situation. I can't believe I'm in line for the stupid dollar store. You know, when is this craziness going to end? I said, I don't know. I don't know what to tell you, man. It is a unique time that we're in. And he said, I guarantee you this one thing. Somebody is making money on this COVID thing. I said, well, yeah, I suppose. I don't know how, but sure, I suppose. And he goes, I'm just telling you right now, there's only so long that they can keep us apart. Now, Dollar Store Jed is actually right. There's only so long that you can separate people. You can do your level best to socially distance people, but you can't stop relationship. Relationship will always find a way. And again, physical distancing is something that people can enforce, that we can do for the safety of those that are around us. But the connections that God has put in our lives are there for the time that we're living in. Now, we need to understand that there's a direct correlation between your relationships and your spiritual life. In fact, when Jesus was asked, you know, what are the greatest commandments? They were always trying to hook Jesus and to catch him on an answer. What's the greatest one? We hear all these things you're saying, but how can you sum up all the Bible in one sentence? And he actually said, you know what? I can do that. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and love your neighbor as yourself. Love those that are around you. See, these relationships are actually interchangeable. Or the way I like to look at it is this. You really can't love God effectively without loving people. And you really can't love people effectively without loving God. So this message is really at the core of who we are as a church. When your relationships are good, life is good. When your relationships are off, it's a disaster. It's a train wreck. And so really in that answer is the central part of for us as a church, what our mission is all about, loving God and loving people. Now, there's a chapter in the Bible that a lot of people are familiar with because it's quite often read at wedding ceremonies. But it's not written for this particular occasion. It's a very powerful portion of Scripture that talks about the glue that keeps relationships together. It's called the love chapter. And so when we look at this, it really frames up, I believe, what today's message is all about. What I'm calling today, love that lasts. You see, it's the love that lasts that allows us to still be in relationships. Over the years, people talk a lot about love. They sing about it. They write about it. People talk about falling in love like they're going to fall in a ditch. Like it's somehow an uncontrolled thing. It just happened. I fell in a ditch. I fell in love. No, listen. Love is not like falling in a ditch. Love is all about choice. It's about you making a decision, whether that's a romantic kind of love or a love for your fellow man. Most people don't just want to fall in love or discover it. Most people want to have a love that's going to last and stand the test of time. And that, again, doesn't just apply to marriage, doesn't just apply to those romantic relationships that sometimes people have. It really has to do with every single relationship that fills our lives. And a true understanding of love, even for those that are in the world around us, is really discovering the secret sauce for making relationships work. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, if you've got your Bibles, turn with me, or you'll see it here on the monitor. And we're going to look at verses 7 and 8. I love this scripture, so powerful. And again, not just poetic words at a ceremony, but really the key to the success of the relationships that God has called us to have, especially within the church. 1 Corinthians 13, verses 7 to 8 says, love always protects. Now, we know love protects, that most of us have that feeling about our children, our spouse, or our friends. But real love, the Bible says, always protects. Real love always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love, real love, never fails. And so many people think, wow, that sounds lovely. That's, again, poetry that's read at an anniversary or a wedding ceremony. But clearly it's just a nice thought, because it's impossible for you and I, when it comes to loving others, to not fail at some point. But here's what I want you to hear today. You see, when you let God work in your life in a great way, you have the capacity to do a lot more than you think you can do. In Christ, you can be more than you ever thought possible. God can empower you to do the things that on your own were absolutely impossible to achieve. See, when we face crisis, we often go into kind of self-preservation mode. We're not thinking about the people around us. We're trying to look after our lives and the people that maybe are closest to us. We're not always looking to offer assistance. And yet, if you love God, then you will love what he loves. Or better stated, you will love who he loves. God so loved the world, you and I, that he gave his only son to die on a cross so that mankind could be redeemed. You see, great relationships are absolutely possible when you allow God to work in your life. Why? Because he's always there to love you. He's always there to protect you. He's always there to give you a reason to trust in and hope in him. His love for you will always persevere. The church and all the relationships that it's held together by has survived decades of war, of famine and unrest in the world. It's survived persecution. Why? Because the love that has held it all together. Because despite all of those things, God has always had a people who have remained in relationship, who are still the church. But it's easy sometimes, if we were honest with one another, to sometimes allow the hurts of past relationships to influence and affect the relationships that we're in right now. It's difficult sometimes when we're always looking in the rearview mirror to move forward the way that God wants us to. You see, we sometimes relive the pain over and over and over again instead of submitting it to the one who can bring healing in the moment. So we need to stop fighting for the past and start fighting for the future. The scripture says it this way in Philippians chapter 3, verse 13. It says, "No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it." In other words, I haven't got this all figured out, but one thing I do know is this, that I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. Again, leave the past in the past. We're actually going to jump into that concept of moving forward in a greater way as we start a new series called Just That, Moving Forward, as we jump into a new series next month. You see, keep moving forward in your relationships and don't let a pandemic derail your efforts. Be intentional about developing connections with those that you're doing life alongside of. Who are you surrounding yourself with today? Prioritize meeting with your small group each week. Look forward to those moments when you can encourage one another. And don't get so hung up on the way that things used to be that you miss the way things are right now. God is always doing something new. That's what I love about the Lord, is he doesn't repeat himself over and over again. You and I are unique, and so are the callings and the purpose that he has for each of us. You know, Susan and I are coming up on 30 years of marriage. That's just incredible to even think about myself. That's significant. That's a wonderful thing. But you know what? It hasn't always been perfect. And I think if she was standing right next to me today, she would agree with that statement. But you know what? She will always and forever be my great love. And I have learned, and I am continuing to learn, to love her the way that Christ loves me, the way that he loves his church, to build a love that will last because it's based on the knowledge of who he is. But you know what? I think in our lives, we look at unconditional love as this almost unattainable situation because we have so many conditions. So many conditions that are wrapped up in how we step out and measure the love that we offer to others. It takes work. It takes work to make a marriage last. It takes work to make friendships last. It takes work for a love that will last. Now, let me give you a few things that will help you to strengthen your understanding of a love that lasts. The first one is this. A love that lasts is always grounded in commitment. See, there are going to be days when you're not a big fan of the person that's next to you, whether they're your spouse or your best friend or somebody that you see at church every week. Things are said, things are done, things happen, and whatever love you had, at some point, you're not feeling that love anymore. See, you will never have a great relationship in any part of your life until you make a commitment to that relationship. The strength found in relationships that last come from a love and respect that holds it firmly in place. It doesn't rely solely on those feelings that we think we need in order for it to survive. It's about commitment, making a commitment to that relationship. Number two, a love that lasts celebrates differences. You know what? Within every church community, there are people from all walks of life. Some that have completely different experiences than yours, and some that share similar experiences to yours. So depending on how you view that truth, it can either cause you great irritation or great inspiration. And here's a pro tip. I would go with the second one because you'll live a lot longer. If you can learn to appreciate the differences in other people, I think that's one of the great strengths of Calvary Church. We've got people from all over the world that come that are so wonderfully different. And for me, it's a picture of who God is. I feel like I get to know the depths of who he is as I get to know his people. And you know what? It's not an easy one to always embrace our need for one another, to especially in the time that we're in, the season that we're in right now. It's easy to drive down the car and sing Lean on Me, but it's another thing to live that truth, to actually lean on someone else, to be mutually dependent. It's a challenging thing. Number three, a love that lasts works, always works on communication. This is a challenging one. Listen, I did not know before I got married that every single day of my life after I said I do, that I would be discussing the tone of my voice. Honestly, I was not aware that I spoke with so many different tones. Apparently, I'm tone deaf when it comes to some of the tones that I use. But in this time, you know, I've since learned that not only do I speak with different tones, but I often speak with the wrong one, and it doesn't make me popular. Jerry Seinfeld once said, I thought this was a marriage, not a musical, and yet that's sometimes exactly what it seems like. It's your tone, my tone. What do you mean, my tone? Your tone. I don't like your tone. Communication, listen, is like an active minefield. I had an opportunity a number of years ago to visit Israel, and we went to the Golan Heights, which is a very strategic military spot. But there's still in the fields, like active minefields. You can see signs saying, do not enter, you know, possible mines, active live mines. And the locals say that every now and then you can see a cow or a goat walking through the field, and then boom, suddenly there's a loud explosion, and it's barbecue time in the Golan Heights, right? So relationships sometimes are like an active minefield. Sometimes it's the tone of your voice. Sometimes it's the thing you said or you didn't say. But we have to work on effective communication. It's something that whether I'm preaching on Sunday, whether I'm talking to my pastoral team or our staff or my wife or my children, I have to work at my communication. It's something that I have to develop and cause God through me to improve upon. Ralph Waldo Emerson once said, who you are is speaking so loudly that I can't even hear what you're saying. I love that line. You see, being authentic to who you are speaks volumes to the relationships in your life and how you communicate. See, people are drawn to vulnerability, to authenticity. So we need to keep these things in mind as we communicate with the world around us. And then number four, a love that lasts always puts Jesus at the center. Now, this is true for every relationship in our lives, from your spouse to your best friend, from your children to those in the small group that you have here in the church. You see, if you're going to leave God out of this relationship process, the process that he himself created, then it's bound to fail. In fact, the Bible says it this way. Psalm 127, verse 1 says, unless the Lord builds a house, the work of the builders is wasted. So unless the Lord builds your house, your relationships, our church, it's an exercise in futility, the Bible says. You see, we have to invite the inventor into the process so that he can speak into that process, the very process that he invented himself. And we can stubbornly try to do it on our own despite the instructions. I can go up to the gas tank in my car and say, you know what? I'm going to fill this car with water because it is so much cheaper than gas. Even though my user's manual tells me to fill it with unleaded or super unleaded gas, you know what? I'm going to choose water. Well, you know what? That's going to be a very poor ending to that move that you're going to make. In order for relationships to work, let the one who designed them define them. Our Christian growth and maturity depend upon our relationships with one another. It's about mutual dependence. We don't simply grow through receiving from other people, but also from giving, by assuming our proper place in the body. A healthy church community requires both active and passive participation. Other people need you, and you need them. Romans 12, 4 to 5 says, "For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others." We have been pre-wired in how God has created us to need one another. And so the scripture uses this wonderful metaphor of the body to paint this picture of what it takes to make love last. It's a unity in purpose, a mutual dependence on other people in your life. That's what the church is all about. And we are still the church, and we are still in relationship because of a love that lasts. You and I have been created for interconnectedness. As we are online in the chat today, as we call one another throughout the week or jump into our Zoom online small groups, we are connecting as we have been created to do. And we are stronger because of it. Let me just pray for you today, wherever you are, whether you're home in your living room with your family, maybe you're on the SkyTrain watching this on the way home from work, or jogging in the park, listening to the podcast, wherever you are, God wants to touch your life. And he wants you to know that you are not alone, that we are in this truly together, and that the love that lasts is the love of God. And when that is present in our lives and in our relationships, we have a sure foundation. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today for your love in our lives, the eternal love that lasts the test of time, that you, out of your love for mankind, so loved that you gave what was most precious to you. You gave your very Son so that our lives could change. I pray that we would be committed more than ever before in a time when we are distanced from one another to remain connected in relationship, to come closer together. I pray for those today that are feeling isolated, those that are feeling separated from their family, from their church, that today you would come close to them, and that God, you would encourage them to be a catalyst of love and relationship in other people. So that in Jesus' name, even as this service concludes, that we would call somebody that we know and love, a friend, family member, someone from church, someone in our small group, that we would connect when we can for coffee and do what we can to be an encouragement in their lives, so that despite whatever we face, that those relationships remain strong and true in our lives, and that as a church, we're stronger than ever before. In Jesus' name we pray, amen, amen. I trust you're blessed today by the word of God, and I want you to feel blessed in your connection to the people of this church. Because even if you're not here in the building yet, and that the day is coming soon, that you can still feel connected. Today, I also want to thank you for your generosity. Listen, Calvary, you blow me away by your generous spirit, your tithes and your offerings, that even though everything looks different, you're still giving, because we're still giving. We're still loving our community, putting together food hampers with the City Dream Center, providing clothing for the Surrey Urban Mission, putting books together for children and families that need it, feeding the needy, those that don't have much of anything on the street through Night Shift Ministries. These are ministries that we've partnered with, that during this time we can be an agent of change. The work of the ministry and the church continues on. And it's because of your generosity that we're continuing to make a difference. So as our final act of worship today, I want to give you another opportunity to give, to be generous, to write in the chat, click on give, or navigate to calvary.ca/give, or you can text to give as well on your mobile device on the information that you see on the banner below. Today, listen, let's continue to bring some stability in a time when people are feeling unsteady. You can make a difference. And I want to pray for you today. I want to pray for your giving as you give online. As we close our service, I want to encourage you to go and to give. Would you do that? Would you be committed to be generous? Because it's because of that giving we're still ministering to our children, to our students, to those that are in need within our church, and to the needs that are represented in our city and around the world. Let's pray today. Father, I thank you for the generosity of those that are giving today, those that hear your call to love, and out of that love to give. Today, I bless every giver, every gift, and believe in Jesus' name that you would do a great work in their lives. Bless every family, every individual through a difficult time, Lord, to find their strength and their source in you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. I hope you've enjoyed today's service. I pray you'd have an amazing week. Jump in on a small group this week. We look forward to seeing you next Sunday for Calvary Church Online at all our regular service times. Jump on the website for all the resources for kids and students. We want to be a resource to bless and encourage you. We'll see you again soon. God bless.